We'll ask for your prayers this morning. Lord, bless this word. Thankful for that song. So I know it's true. I'm thankful that the salvation doesn't have to get old. You really can't get to the bottom of it or to the heights of it. The scripture calls it a river to swim in. Likens it, what is it there in Ezekiel, I believe, unto a river that issued from under the throne. And it talks about the river, how as it went, it broadened out and he was led to the river and led out, he said, a little ways, and it was to my ankles and a little further and to his knees and to his loins. And then he said it was a river to swim in. I hope we found salvation to be that way. I hope we found it to be a full supply and abundance, a great measure. And I trust that it's our desire this morning that I would be able to continue taking in more and more. The 11th chapter of Romans. Romans 11 and 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." All the depth of the riches, of the wisdom and the knowledge, the depth of it that is beyond finding out, beyond searching. It says, how unsearchable are His judgments. No matter how many years we live for the Lord, no matter how long we've endeavored to work for Him, to live for Him, to study His Word, I don't believe we'll ever come to a place that I'll be able to say, I found it out now. I've searched out the land. I've found everything there is to know. I'm there now. Because the one place, Isaiah, I believe it is, says that as far as the heavens are above the earth, so high are My thoughts above your thoughts. The greatest expanse that man is able to think of his mind, and the furthest, the greatest things that he's able to understand and figure out. Man sometimes, oh, they'll put titles to their name to describe how many years or how long they've studied, the level of education they've received, the doctorate of divinity and all. Folks, it doesn't matter how long that we've tried to wrap our minds around this. For one thing, it doesn't come by human wisdom. It doesn't come by our own intellect or trying to understand. But it says the deep things of God are revealed unto us by His Spirit, by a revelation, to be able to give to us an understanding of the depth. But I see in this the depth, the expanse, the breadth, the width of all that the Lord has for us. One place it says that eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. Yes, I believe in heaven. I don't believe our minds are able to really grasp at all what heaven will be like. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, whenever we cross that river, whenever we draw our last breath and it's opened up and unfolded to us, in a moment we'll understand and we'll know. For now we see through a glass darkly. We're able by our human minds to see a little bit. We're able to see through. We're able to discern and understand a little bit. But then we'll see face to face. In that day, all the questions, all the confusion, the things that I never understood. You ever look into the Word of God and maybe open it up to a place and think, I don't understand any of this. Some of the visions, some of the prophecies that are given in the Old Testament, in Daniel or in Ezekiel, and I don't know what this means. A will within a will, and all the picture that is created. We studied some about Revelation, and I hope that our minds were opened up a little more to the Word of God. But you know, in that day, we'll understand. Questions in our lives, things that I didn't understand, whenever I come to the place that I'm able to see face to face, we'll be able to understand. But I don't believe because of that. The Lord wants us to just fold our hands and say, well, I can't understand those things. They're beyond finding out. Scripture says here, it's unsearchable. So does it mean we shouldn't search? They're beyond finding out. So does it mean we shouldn't endeavor to find out? I believe it's portraying to us the expanse and the greatness of all that He is to be able to comprehend just a little bit, like eternity. It's like the universe. The further we go out, now they've just sent the Orion into space that's planned to be able, eventually, maybe in the 30s, to send man to Mars. Seems like a long ways. Whenever the reports came back of mankind going to the moon, that was a long, long ways. To be able to go to Mars. But do you know, if as you look at the expanse of the universe, it's really just a drop in the bucket. It's really just a millimeter in the scale of hundreds of miles. The expanse of it, it gives us a picture of who God is and His greatness and His wisdom. I'd like to look in the book of Joshua now. First chapter of Joshua. Mentioned a little this morning of Moses. The time that Moses was able to spend with the Lord in the mount. The time that the Lord revealed to him His law. When Moses would go and appear in person before the Lord. The Lord would speak to Moses as a man does his friend. The time was coming now, though, that Moses was passing off the scene. The word was given here unto Joshua, beginning with the 5th verse. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thought that I have this morning is meditation. Our meditation. The instruction that was given to Joshua here, and I believe it's good, sound, simple instruction to every one of us as children of God. As you're going forth, as I go before you to fight your battles, I've given you my law. I've given you my commandments, what I require of you. If you follow it, if you follow in the ways that you'll live a prosperous life. You'll abound in it. I'll go before you. No man will be able to stand before you. The instruction that was given to him was meditate in the law, both day and night. What is it to meditate? Is it just to casually remember, occasionally to glance back upon and remember for a fleeting moment? I believe it involves something much deeper than that. To meditate, for my mind to dwell upon, that I choose, that my thoughts will dwell upon that. It says both day and night. All right, now I want to look at the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 in the first verse. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. And that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey." These words, the sixth verse, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. There's a danger that he was imparting here to the children of Israel. When you go into the land, remember, I'm sending you forth into a land that's already inhabited. And I'm going to drive out the enemy from the inhabitants of the land from before you. And you'll be able to possess their possessions. But be careful whenever you go into the land and you have an abundance that's already been prepared for you, that you don't forget the Lord. That he doesn't become just a thing of the distant memory that soon slips from our minds. In our world, I fear, in our day of prosperity, we as a nation have forgotten so greatly the thing that's made us a great nation. Forgotten the Lord, forgotten His ways, His requirements, His precepts, and the fear of the Lord is, it seems, vanishing so quickly from our nation. But I believe this applies to us in a spiritual sense as well. You know, we have books that we have access to. Many books I have on my bookshelf from the Faith Publishing House and so forth that our fathers and our fathers' fathers that have gone before us, you read through these and you read a great depth of spirituality. You read, this was something that they came by, not just by casual, maybe a thought dropping in our minds. And I'm thankful that the Lord can drop thoughts in our minds. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road and the Lord, maybe by listening to a song, or the Lord will drop a thought in my mind and it'll inspire me and encourage me, and the Lord start talking to me about it. And I'll maybe try to write it down to remember it, because how easy it is for us to forget. There are some times that I'll come and I'll think, "Lord, what was that thought that inspired me? What was that scripture that you gave me, Lord? I can't remember it. It's gone." Have you ever come down later in the week and tried to think back, "What was that message about on Sunday?" Don't feel badly because you're looking at the minister if you nod, because I'd do it too. "Lord, what was that?" How quick we are sometimes to forget. Those brethren that found great depth in the Lord and that wrote of it, they gained understanding of doctrine, the scripture, and expounded on it, wrote upon it. You know, those things are like houses that are builded that we didn't have to build. Vineyards planted that we didn't have to plant. And understand that it's not something that we receive that's just handed down. It's not, salvation is not something that's imparted from one generation to the other. That I deed it to you, or I hand it off now to you and you carry it on. But there are things that our fathers that have gone before, they had to dig the wells. Remember Isaac? He went and the wells that his father had digged, where he had gone and he had dug out all the dirt and he had found the water. That's the place that he wanted to go back to. We have wells that we can go to that I didn't have to spend all the time on my knees. "Lord, what does the Word teach about this doctrine?" Because the Lord, the light has already been given. The Lord's already revealed it. He's already shown it. He's revealed it to my heart. Yes, that's right. That's true. By the preached Word of God many times, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to show me this is truth. This is right. But there are those that have faced and gotten a hold of those kind of truths at risk of their life. that if they possessed this, Martin Luther was in risk of his life for that bit of light that the Lord gave him and others that would come up and say, the Lord, show me something here. I can't continue to bow before an idol. I can't continue to offer prayers unto Mary. I can't do it. The Lord's given me understanding of the Scripture. They had to dig a well. They had to spend time with the Lord. Not just in casually going along and following the flow and following the routine, but sincerity of heart. Searching and seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to know Your ways. You know, the Lord is able to reveal that even to the poorest, most ignorant, most uneducated. Those that the Lord is able to come and reveal His law unto. They get a hold of that and at risk of their life, begin to teach the truths that the Lord has given them. You know, that's something the just shall live by faith. Then I hear that and we've known what that meant. We've been taught that. But there are those that had to dig the wells of those kind of truths. Lord, help us that we not in our generation take them for granted. That we not, because we've heard all these things, we've been taught these things, we have the books on our shelves. Lord, help us that we not become complacent with it. Because folks, the expanse, Brother D.S. Warner didn't have it all. Brother B.E. Warren and those of the pioneer ministers, they didn't get it all. Folks, there's still more for us to be able to get a hold of. In my life, there are still places that the Lord wants to expand my boundaries. Lord, help me that I not get complacent or careless. It's really the difference in meditation. It's not something careless. It's not something that's a laziness, something that I just in passing, I would like for the Lord every time to just come along as I'm walking along or as I'm driving in the car, the Lord to just come and pour on me everything I ever needed. Boy, that'd be wonderful. But you know, there are some times and places that I don't get it by any other way than to come face to face with ugly Clint in the mirror of His Word. And I realize, Lord, I didn't want to see that. And I have to come to that, and I have to begin to dig, and I have to begin to get things out of the way. Times whenever I go through hardship, through some trials, whenever I face some things, that I can begin to get a hold and I see a little bit more. Lord, this is who You are. This is what faith and trust in You means. My meditation. You know, we can tell a lot about where our heart and our mind is by what is it that's on our minds when we wake up in the morning. When we go to bed at night, what's on our minds? You can tell oftentimes by what people speak of. Those that are in the sports, racing, fishing, whatever it is that people involve themselves in, every opportunity they get, they talk about it. Every opportunity they get, they're looking for the chance to learn more about it, to partake in it to a fuller extent. Lord, help us that it would be our meditation both day and night. I want to look here at Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. So unto the children of Israel, let this be your meditation. Let this be what your heart dwells on. Let it be what your thoughts are. Not just occasionally, not just on the Sabbath day, but it says day and night. When you rise up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, let it be as frontlets before your eyes. You know what that's telling us? Let it be ever before you. In everything you do, in everything that you see, in everything, let it turn our minds to the Lord. In everything of life, let our meditation be on the Lord. Whenever I see the trees, whenever, and I've related before The time that we've spent with Brother Leslie, and you hear just the thanksgiving bubbling out of him. Whenever he thanks the Lord for his meal, whenever he picks up a handful of pecans, whenever he looks out on the trees, you know, with our pace of life, it's so easy to just go past him in a blur. To just rush through life and not stop to look and observe and thank the Lord for all the things that he's given us and done. But Lord, help us that it would be our meditation, that my mind dwells on him throughout the day. When I rise up in the morning, to consider the blessings of the Lord and what he's done for us and of what the Lord wants from us, and a scripture, a thought, a song. Isn't it a blessing when the Lord, those times when the Lord will come and just talk to you and visit with you throughout the day? Or a song that he gives that blesses you throughout the day? David said it was his delight, and he meditated both day and night. I have several more scriptures that I want to look at, if you'll bear with us, in Psalms. The 104th chapter. Psalms 104. Verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. You know what the Ebenezer stones were intended to do? Whenever your children, it says, passes by them, and they see this heap of stones, they'll look on it and it'll cause them to ask a question. What does this mean? Whenever they had the Passover, whenever they had special occasions that were set up to remember the Passover, remember the deliverance from Egypt and so forth, it was to be a time that turned their mind back to the Lord. The Lord wants there to be those places in our lives that I remember, that I don't forget the things that the Lord has done for me, the victories that he's given, the healings that he's given. The enemy would like for us to receive those and move on. But it is good for us, yes, not to just dwell in the past, because the Lord is a living and a real God that's still working today. And there's still victories that he wants to give us today. But let's not forsake. Let's remember. It's what meditation is. Lord, I remember, and just thinking the other day as the Lord brought back to my mind, Lord, thank you for healing Brother Curtis. Lord, thank you for touching Brother Michael. Those things that we pray for over and over and over and over, and then the Lord gives them to us. Is our meditation of him sweet? As we think on him, as we think on his word, does it stir something within us of our love for him? Lord, as I look out on a sunrise, does it make me feel just a warmth within me towards the God of all creation? My meditation of him shall be sweet. Seems like we live in a fast food world, more so in America. I don't see it too often in a couple other nations that I've been in. But our world is on such a hurry, such a rush to be able to grab something on the go. And it seems like much of what we do, I know at work, it's focused on how can we be quicker, do more in a shorter amount of time, cram more into a given day to be able to accomplish more and more. Those kind of things, it's the pace of life. Some of that we have to do. But when it comes to the things of God, I don't believe there are shortcuts. I don't believe it's really, I don't think we can find ways. How could I condense this? Lord, how could I get a hold of the same thing in a shorter amount of time? Lord, that was tough. Having to go through that trial or having to really dig. I'd like to be able to be one of those gold miners that went out to California, walking along the creek bed and saw big chunks of gold, put it in his bag and go back home. I'm rich now, but you know how many of them had to do it? They had to give of everything they had. They had to spend day and night digging through rocks, through hardship, through through all kinds of adversity and difficulty because I want to get a hold of something that I know is valuable. Go and sell all that you have and buy that field because there's something of great possession in it. Let's not shortchange ourselves when it comes to the things of the Lord. That I can try to rush through life so quickly. I know I enjoy have a little devotional on my phone. Every morning and every afternoon you can pull it up and it'll have some scriptures, some thoughts that you can reflect on. It's encouraging. Many times I've read that and it's given me a thought for the day, given me something to strengthen me. But you know, I can't go on fast food all the time. Sometimes there are times that it needs to be my meditation. I need to dig on it. Excuse the expression, but I need to chew on the cud for a little while, like the cows do. Get a hold of some food and I'm going to go chew on it for a while. I'm going to think on it. I'm going to mull it in my mind. I'm going to consider it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to think on these things. Sometimes it requires some effort, but it's worth it. It's worth it to be able, the saying is, you get out what you put in. I want to be able to get out more. Lord, I want to be able to search out a little more of Your depth, of Your wisdom, of Your knowledge. I want to think on those things. Sometimes I can't remember things. Maybe if I meditated on it a little more. Maybe if I allowed and caused and prayed, Lord, help me that my mind would dwell a little more on this. And folks, I know the reality of life. I know that 24 hours a day, our mind isn't able to be focused entirely on the Scripture. We have business. We have life that we have to deal with. But Lord, help that every opportunity I get, every chance that I get, my meditation, the thoughts of my mind and where my mind dwells would be on the Lord. Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. For a nation that tries to do things in a rush and fast food, at the same time, we sure like to eat. And it's not something that is a chore many times. It's not one of those things that, you know, I'm just going to have to eat today. I'm going to have to make time. It doesn't matter how all these other things I want to do. Oh, I got to go eat again. I've got to go in there or I'm not going to have the strength to go on. So I'm going to make myself go in and eat something. That's not how I am, or you'd see a lot less of me up here. It's not a chore. It's not something that I have to make myself go do. And I have to remember and I have to keep. I don't have to put a sticky note on the wall saying, go eat. Because I remember that. It's something that just as I feel the need that stirs, my mind turns to that. And I enjoy eating. I think we all do. Enjoy. It's something that can almost become a recreation to us. Not a lot of things that we'd go out of the world, the things of the world and entertainment. I sure enjoy going out to eat and spending some time with my family and friends. But I would that as Job said, I've esteemed the words of your mouth even more than that. I don't have to worry about taking care of the needs of the body. I'll do that. Sometimes I need to lay that aside so that I can make sure I'm taking care of the soul in fasting and seeking Him. But I want that to be the object of my heart. The thing that my mind just turns back to. Whenever I've taken care of business, I have a few minutes here. This world, it seems like our generation, how many times do you see children and young people with earbuds in their ears? Walking through the store with earbuds in. Going into a restaurant, sitting down with earbuds. What's wrong with silence? It seems that people are afraid of silence. To drive down the road in silence and not have the radio blaring. What's wrong with that? You know, there's something for the heart that's not right with God that silence is painful. Silence is something whenever I begin to hear that voice that talks to me. I want to drown it out. I want to be here. I want my mind to be on something. When people are working, when they're driving, they want to hear something in the background. And I know many people even that have a television, even if they're not watching it, they want to have the television on because it gives background noise. It gives something they're so used to having the noise of it, even leave it on at night because I want to hear the sound of it. Folks, I want to hear a different kind of sound. I don't want to just fill my mind with noise, but I want to be able to hear the Lord. I want my meditation to be on His words. Sometimes as I'll listen to the radio, listen to the news and so forth, but sometimes I feel a little bit of a check, just turn it off and get quiet. Just listen for a little while. You know, our meditation, it is the vehicle through which the Lord talks to us. It is the avenue through which the Lord's able to visit with us if we'll make the time for it. If we'll give Him the room and give Him the place in our life, in our day, to be able to talk to us. Let's not make the Lord compete with all the other noises. Whenever I have a few minutes, I turn something on to fill in the silence. Whenever I have a few moments, I turn to something that I enjoy doing or just to fill the void. You know what I mean, what I'm saying? Something to just fill the free time that I have. That's what entertainment is, really. Of all the different forms that it takes, and in and of itself, in a pure form, there's nothing wrong with entertainment, with doing something, playing a game with the family and so forth. But let's make sure, as Job said, more than my necessary food. This is the object of my attention, of my love, first and foremost. The law of the Lord is my delight. And I want to meditate on that throughout the day. Scripture that how many times face the day, take the time to read a scripture and you find it gives you the strength that you need to keep going. Psalms 119. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. There's a love thing at work here. It's something, it's not just a chore. And there is, saints, there is a duty. There is a place of duty. I don't just always feel like, Brother Rick said this morning, I don't feel like going to service. He wasn't feeling well. Sometimes we don't feel like maybe reading. Maybe I want to fill a few moments that I have with something else. But Lord, help us that we follow the duty. But yet, I know there have been times that maybe at work, at lunchtime, I have a few minutes I could read or I could check the news or something. I think I'll look into the Word of the Lord for a little while. I think I'm going to shut all that out for a little bit and I have the Lord visit me. And I think if I hadn't taken that time, if I hadn't just set aside a few minutes and say, Lord, the best that I can, I'm going to shut everything out now. Not competing with the other things. Not, Lord, I'll have you playing in one ear and I'll have something else playing in the other ear, so to speak. Lord, this is your time. That's what meditation is. Lord, I shut it all out. This is your time now. I'm going to look into the Word of God and not just the 30 seconds a minute. I'll see if I can find one scripture there. I've checked the box, so to speak, and I rush on my way and my mind is on something else. But maybe even if I only have a few minutes, I read the scripture. I look on it and I allow my mind to dwell on it and to think about it. Of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that He would come and bring all things to your remembrance and teach you all things whatsoever I've said unto you. I'll bring it to your minds. The Holy Spirit, and what does His voice sound like? Is it not a still, small voice that comes in the times when we're able to get quiet before the Lord and bring back a thought? At a time whenever we need it the most, sometimes it can almost be discouraging to me how much I can forget. Whenever I hear a message, oh Lord, this is good. I want to remember this. I don't want to lose this. And it almost washes out in the blur of life. But you know, when our heart and our mind dwells and meditates on these things, the Lord can bring it back to us in the hour
of need? You ever found that to be the case whenever you're facing something now and the Lord brings back a scripture, brings back a message or something that He's done for you? The Holy Spirit will do that. I want to look at the 39th Psalm. Psalms 39. Verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. As I was thinking, as I was meditating, the scripture says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I want to give the Lord chance to talk to me. My meditation and my thoughts. And as the scripture says here, I held my peace. And you read of Job, the 32nd chapter of Job. The counselors were gathering in and they were telling Job this and telling him that. And he sat back throughout it all. He didn't say a word for a little while. He was sitting and he was listening and he was taking it in, pondering and meditating upon it. And then whenever the moment, whenever the Lord gave the opportunity, whenever it was the season for him to speak, then he spoke and he talked about it with similar language like this. I held my tongue, but it was my spirit constrained me, I believe he said. But my belly is as bottles of wine that's ready to vent. And so he spoke. And so he spoke and the Lord was able to speak. But there was a meditation of his heart, a meditation of his mind. While my heart was hot within me, while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Lord, help us everyone that we'd be able to have this place of meditation upon the things of the Lord. Whenever I encounter situations, Lord, I want to give you the place and the room. My meditation, the meditation of my thoughts and of my mind, for the Lord to talk, for the Lord to work with me, to bring the thoughts that He would have. And then I spoke with my tongue. I want to close the 19th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is that our prayer this morning, Lord? My meditation. The things as I look back over a course of a day. Oh, there are things that can take up our mind. What is the Word tell us about those that are kept in perfect peace? Their mind is stayed on the Lord. Whenever their mind is stayed on the Lord, they'll be kept in perfect peace. But how many times the cares of life, the worries, the troubles, the stresses can so consume my mind. There are things that I can let my mind dwell on that aren't sin, that aren't wrong, but I can so fill my mind with just emptiness. That at the end of the day, there wasn't much profit. There wasn't much strength that I gained from it. Folks, this is a challenge that the Lord has given me as well. And I want to challenge you all with it as well. The meditation of our life. Our meditation as we go throughout our days. Simple instruction for us. Lord, help us. That the meditation of our hearts and our minds will be acceptable unto Him. You pray for me. Amen.